You got your Bibles, I'd like to read a few verses of scripture, beginning with a verse in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And they, that is Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The next chapter, chapter 4, and verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now in Luke's Gospel, the last chapter of Luke 24, verse 13, And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, and they talked together of the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 19, And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since those things were done. Verse 26, Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now into John's Gospel, chapter 20. John 20, verse 19, Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his sides. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now into the epistles to Thessalonians. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter, chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And one more verse in the next book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse, we'll read 7, 8, and 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's all I'm going to read for this moment. What I want to simply bring before you tonight is the difference it makes to have the presence of the Lord Jesus. In the opening words we read about Adam, he hid himself from the presence of the Lord. And Cain, he deliberately went out from the presence of the Lord. When we come into the New Testament, we find there are many people who met the Lord Jesus. And I've read about one particular man, Bartimaeus. And what a difference it made to Bartimaeus when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, if for the first time you meet the Lord Jesus, what a difference it will make in your life. What a difference it will make for your life down here. What a difference it will make for your life in eternity. And then we read those two on the way to Emmaus. What a difference it made to their life when the Lord Jesus was with them. As they were going home on that night or on that day, what a difference it was when the Lord Jesus was there. And then those in that room in John chapter 20, where the disciples were gathered, they were gathered for fear, and the presence of the Lord came, and it says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, what a difference it makes if the Lord is in our midst, if the Lord is the one who is supreme amongst us. You know, they read those final words in Thessalonians. What a difference it's going to make, dear friends, tonight, when the Lord Jesus returns and we will be in his presence, body, soul, and spirit. But you know, whenever we talk about the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming to take believers to be with himself for all eternity, what a sad thing it is that we read in the next book, the second book of Thessalonians, there are those who will be banished from his presence for all eternity. And that's why the gospel meeting is very important, that we listen. And it's also very important that we obey what God is saying to us through his precious word. There is the possibility that there could be someone here tonight who will spend eternity banished from the presence of the Lord Jesus. What a sad thing it would have been to have been in a gospel meeting and still be lost for all eternity. There is judgment coming upon this world. There is judgment coming upon this world because of the way they treated the Son of God. There is judgment coming upon this world because of sin and because of our sin. You know, we go right back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. And here we see how sin came into this world. We read in Romans, as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men because all have sinned. And although men will poo-poo Genesis, particularly the story of Adam and Eve, this is the ground on which we stand on, the revealed will of God. This world did not evolve. It was created from the hand of a blessed God. And here we see that Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. And from this very beginning, sin came into the world. Sin is due to disobedience. Disobedience to the word of God. God had told Adam and Eve what to do. They're in a marvelous place, the Garden of Eden. We can read what was in it. There was rivers. There was every imaginable food they could eat. And yet Adam and Eve took of that fruit which God forbid them. They disobeyed God. And as a result, sin came into this world. And we see that Adam, having taken of that fruit of the tree, he knew he was wrong. He knew he had sinned. And he sought to hide from the presence of the Lord God. You know, when we come into the next chapter, we find a young man, Cain, who deliberately went away from God, who deliberately made a movement away from the presence of God. And you know, tonight, men and women, boys and girls in this world, we're born away from God. We're born as sinners, and we're away from God. And if it was left to ourselves, we would remain away from God. None of us has the ability, none of us has the desire to return to God. Left to ourselves, we would all be on a road which would lead to hell. Every one of us deserve it. We've all sinned against the holy, righteous claims of God. And the only thing that we deserve is the lake of fire. But you know, the marvelous thing and the wonders of the gospel message tonight is that God has not left us. God has moved from his side. God has moved. God has come into this world in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is. The Bible says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know how thankful we should be that it is all of mercy. It's not of our ability. None of us can do anything to get to God. It is all of his grace and of his love and of his mercy. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world in order that he might meet man's needs, in order that he might save us from our sins and from eternal punishment. You know, when we come into the Gospels, we see there the wonderful stories of the Lord Jesus when he moved through this scene. What a wonderful stories there are. Many people that were met the Lord Jesus, and what a difference it made to them. We could have read about the man who was sick of the palsy. He was let down through the roof and he met the Lord Jesus. What a difference it made to him. We think of Nicodemus. He was a man who had no physical needs. He was a healthy man. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was well up in the religious system. And yet he came to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. The life that you're living now, you cannot get to God. You need to be born again. What a difference it made to Nicodemus when he met the Lord Jesus. And tonight, if you will meet the Lord Jesus, if you will simply allow him to speak to you, it will make a tremendous difference in your life. And that's what happened with Bartimaeus. It says in verse 46 of our chapter that Jesus came to Jericho. In chapter 11 of Mark, the Lord Jesus is at Bethany. And that began the final week of the Lord's life prior to the cross. And you know, I think we can say without any doubt that when the Lord Jesus came to Jericho, this was the last chance. This was the last time the Lord Jesus was going to go through Jericho. And we can say that here was Bartimaeus' last chance to put his trust, to get himself right, to get his sight back from the Lord Jesus. And tonight, this could be your last opportunity to be saved. Think about it, dear friends. Tonight may be your last opportunity to be saved. You may say, I'm young and I've got a life before me. None of us know what will happen. We could die tonight. Moreover, the Lord Jesus could come tonight. More than that, the Spirit may not strive with you anymore. Tonight, if the Lord Jesus is speaking to you, the Word of God says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If the Lord is speaking to you tonight, this is your opportunity to put your faith and trust in him. And here we see that this was Bartimaeus' opportunity to trust, to get his sight back. And the Bartimaeus, he sat there by the highway. He was begging. He was literally, he was looking for some physical relief for the condition that he was in. He wanted someone to give him some money, perhaps some food, perhaps some raiment. And as he sat there, he was begging. You know, we see this happening today. If you look outside into the villages and the churches and the villages and the towns which we live in, we see men and women, boys and girls, going round looking for something to satisfy their hearts. They will try all sorts of things to satisfy them. And they go from one to another, and they end up worse than when they started, looking for something to satisfy. Because you know, dear friends, we've got a soul, a never-dying soul. We've got a spirit, and they will only be satisfied by the things of God. Here was Bartimaeus as he sat beside the wayside. He was begging. Are you begging for something to satisfy you? Have you come along here tonight to see if there's something that would satisfy you? I tell you, the only thing that will satisfy you tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that he sits beside the wayside and he says to the people, who's coming past? Who are we talking about? And the people said, verse 47, it was Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus the Nazarene. What did they mean when they said that? We go back into the book of Kings, we find that Solomon gave the king of Tyre certain cities in Galilee, and amongst them was perhaps Nazareth. And when Tyre looked at those cities, he said, they are worthless. And here, the Lord Jesus, he came from Nazareth, that despised place, that place which nobody thought a prophet could come from. Indeed, we read it says, in one occasion, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the people's own idea of the Lord Jesus was that he was Jesus, the Nazarene. What is your opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Do you consider him as a man of history? Do you consider him as a man that came into the land of Israel many years ago? Yes, he may have done some good things. Yes, he may have moved around and we have his record in the Bible. But is that all you think about the Lord Jesus? Because you know, when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he didn't cry out, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. He acknowledged that here was one that was the king of Israel. Here was one that should be in charge. Do you realize that the person that we're speaking about is no less a person than the Son of God? No less a person than the one who created this universe. Not only did he create the universe, but he holds it together. He keeps it moving. And this is the one that Bartimaeus was about to meet. He's not the Jesus of Nazareth to Bartimaeus. He's the Son of David. He's the one that has the rights to the throne. And tonight, dear friends, I can say without any doubt that your opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight will determine your eternal destiny. If you believe he was just an ordinary man, a good man, but just a man, you're lost. You'll be lost for all eternity. But if you acknowledge that he came into this scene, the Son of God, he came into this world in order that he might die upon the cross to save us from our sins, we accept what he has done, we can be saved. Well, in verse 48, there was many that charged him that he should hold his peace. Here was a soul, we can say, who was seeking. He was seeking the Lord Jesus, and many told him to hold your peace. You know, there are many people tonight in this world, there are many people perhaps in your life that would tell you to hold your peace. Many people that would be saying to you in your own thoughts as you sit there tonight, but if I become a Christian tonight, what is going to happen to my friends? What are other people going to say to me? What is my family going to say? What is my relationship with thy friends going to be? There's a story that the Lord Jesus told of a man who made a supper. And he says he bade many. And they all at once began to make excuses. One had bought a piece of land. One had bought some oxen. And one had married a wife. And they all had good excuses. And you know, there are many excuses that Satan would put in your mind why not to come to the Lord Jesus tonight. And yet, you know, when they charged him to hold his peace, he cried out even more. And you know, why is it that Bartimaeus cried out? Why did he keep crying? Because he knew he was blind. You know, if you're blind, you all know it. Blindness is not something that you can forget about. If you have something wrong with your leg and you sit down, you forget about it. But he was blind. He knew it. You know, the trouble is today is that men and women are forgetting about the fact that before a holy and a righteous God, we are sinners. And every one of us is a sinner. Doesn't it burden you tonight to know that your sins deserve judgment? And your sins will be judged. Every single sin that has been committed will be judged. Don't think that you can sin and get away with it, because the God that we're talking about is a holy and a righteous God. Every sin has to be judged. And do you realize that we're sinners before a holy and a righteous God? Because Bartimaeus, he realized. Bartimaeus knew that he was a sinner. He was blind. Do you know you're a sinner? Well, Bartimaeus, he called out. Again, he says, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." You know, Bartimaeus didn't say, "Thou son of David, I'm one of Abraham's children." He could have done, and it would have been perfectly true. He didn't even say, "Son of David, I'm blind, I'm physically handicapped, I need help," and that would have been true. He called upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus. And you know, if any of us are going to be saved, there's no good saying, "I can do this and I can do that." We have to fall upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus. It's not what we can do, it's not what we have done. It's what the Lord Jesus has done that will save us from our sins. And Bartimaeus, he relied not upon what he was, but he relied upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus. And then we find this verse 49. It simply says, "And Jesus stood still." You know, if we were to read in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, we find that the sun, S-U-N, stood still. You know, I think something even greater happened here when the Son of God stood still at the call of a blind man. And it's the same person tonight, the same person who stood here when a blind man called him, is ready to stand, as it were, beside you and speak to your heart tonight and says, "Don't you realize that I died for you upon the cross? Don't you realize that I shed my blood in order that you might be saved and saved for all eternity? Don't you realize I was prepared to take the judgment that is yours?" The Lord Jesus, he stood still, and they commanded him to be brought. And they said to him, "Be of good cheer. Arise, he calleth thee." And dear friends, if the Lord Jesus is speaking to you tonight, come to the Lord Jesus. Bartimaeus, it says, he cast away his garments. You know, naturally speaking, that was the only thing that Bartimaeus would have possessed. But he threw them to one side because he realized that here was one who could cure all his problems. And you know, if there's anything holding you back tonight from coming to the Lord Jesus, cast them to one side. Come to him in faith. Accept what he has done upon Calvary's cross. Know that your sins are eternally forgiven. And you too will be like Bartimaeus. You'll receive your sight. And we trust and we pray that you will follow Jesus in the way. For Bartimaeus, the way that he followed the Lord Jesus would have led him to the cross. The Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross. You know, being a Christian is not an easy pathway, but what a wonderful pathway it is. And what a glorious future there is for those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference then it made in the day that Bartimaeus met the Lord Jesus. What a difference it made when we came into our next chapter, Luke 24, to these two on the way to Emmaus. Here they were going home. We think they were a couple, a husband and wife. And as they were moving away to their home, they were talking one to another. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know, we read later on, the Lord could say to them, "Why are ye sad as you walk?" And why were they sad? They were sad because they had based their thoughts upon what they had thought. It goes, they explain why they're sad. They said, "We had thought he had been he who would redeem Israel. We had planned out in our mind that this and this would happen." Their life, as it were, was taken from them. Their thoughts, their ideas had all gone.
and they were sad.
You know, do we ever feel like that, dear friends? Do we ever feel that there's nothing really to live for? Do we ever feel that we want to give up everything? Give up going to church? Give up coming to the meetings? Everything seems to be so difficult. The Lord Jesus went with them. What a wonderful person we have to offer you tonight, that the Lord Jesus could go with these people. These people who were depressed, who were unhappy, the Lord Jesus went with them. Do you ever feel like that, dear friends? Do you ever feel that there's nothing really left in life to live? There's so many problems, there's so many difficulties. The Lord Jesus will come to you. And what did he do? He spoke to them from the Bible. He took them into the Old Testament, and he spoke to them from Moses and from the prophets. You know, I often wonder where the Lord Jesus went when he went into Moses. Did he talk to them about the Passover, that lamb which was slain? Did he talk to them about the serpent of brass that was put on a pole? When he went to the prophets, well, did he speak to them about Isaiah 53, that wonderful chapter? Wherever the Lord Jesus spoke to them from the Old Testament, they were things concerning himself. And you know what a difference it made on these disciples as the Lord Jesus went with them. And it says, the verse I didn't read, in verse 32. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't we feel the joy of being with the Lord Jesus? You know, dear friends, if you will experience the Savior, if you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus and know your sins are forgiven, there will be a joy in being in his presence. There will be a joy in hearing him speak, in hearing, looking through those Old Testament scriptures and seeing in every page the Lord Jesus himself. And hear these two, what a difference it made to them when the Lord Jesus was with them. And they returned and they went back to Jerusalem. And we often have thought, you know, as they left Jerusalem, they were going slowly and they were fed up. But it made such a difference as they went back to Jerusalem. Perhaps they were running, no doubt they were skipping. And what a joy it will make in your heart tonight if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. On that same day, we jumped into John's Gospel. The disciples were gathered for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came into their midst. And oh, what a priceless privilege we have when we gather together with the Lord Jesus in our midst. And what a joy it is as we have the privilege on Lord's Day mornings to gather to remember him in his death, to realize he is there in the midst. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Dear friends, does it make you glad when we gather to the Lord's table? Or is there those here tonight that know about these things, who know about what happens on the Lord's Day morning? There are Christians that gather together, and yet you don't see anything in it. You don't think there's anything there. If you really put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, if you trust him to take your sins away, and then you commit yourself to follow him, he will come to you as he did to these two. Show you from the scriptures things concerning himself. And there will be a joy. There will be something in your life that you cannot explain. You'll want to tell others. And you'll be glad because you have seen the Lord. You know, what is the end going to be? We're not going to be here much longer, dear friends. Things are building up in this world that tells us that the Lord's coming is very, very near. We know from the Bible that the Lord Jesus is going to come to reign. He's going to come and he's going to actually stand upon the Mount of Olives. And from there he's going to reign over this world. And what a wonderful day that will be. And already at this moment we see things building up for his appearing. The nation of Israel is back in their land. We see the iniquity. We see lawlessness abiding on every hand. Yet you know, before the Lord Jesus comes to reign, he's going to come into the air to call us to be with himself. That day could be today. You know, the serious thing about it, I want to press upon you in the last few moments tonight, is that the Lord Jesus could come tonight. And those that are ready went in. We read in the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, The virgins that were ready, it says, they that were ready went in, and the door was shut. You know, when the Lord Jesus comes, the door of grace is going to be closed. It's going to be closed, never to be opened again. And I want you to challenge yourself tonight, everyone in this room, and ask yourself the simple question. If the Lord Jesus came before I had finished speaking, would you go to be with him, or would you be left behind? This is a very important question. Would you be left behind when the Lord Jesus comes? Because if you're left behind, I can tell you why you're left behind. You're left behind because you've never trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. You've never looked at Calvary's cross and said, when he died upon that cross, he died for me. You've never accepted him as your Savior. And you're left behind for judgment. What a terrible thing it is. We read, what a terrible thing it is to fall into the hands of a righteous God. For our God is a consuming fire. Dear friends, these things are very serious. I'll read those final verses from Thessalonians. Thessalonians 1 verse 7, and you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of his glory. In verse 8, there are two groups of people. There are those that know not God, and there are those that obey not the gospel. You know, we live in a country, particularly those that are local to Northern Ireland, you live in a province which has been abundantly blessed with the gospel. There's no doubt about it that here we live in a land where the gospel has been preached time and time again. And you cannot say you're ignorant of the gospel. You know about God. You know about the love of the Lord Jesus. And yet you are in this group that are obeying not the gospel of God. Are you turning a blind eye? Are you turning away from God? Are you saying, I don't want your offer of mercy? What a terrible thing it is, dear friends, to turn away from God's offer of mercy. God is not offering you something that can be offered by anybody else. God gave his only begotten Son. What a cost it was to him to give his Son, to allow his beloved Son to be mocked, to be spat upon by men who he had created. We see the Lord Jesus, when we read through the accounts in the Gospels, when he was scourged, he was whipped, he was beaten, what they did to him, and they took him out and they crucified him. They nailed him upon a cross, just the same as an ordinary criminal would be done. That's what they did to God's beloved Son. You know, if you turn a blind eye, if you turn your back on what God allowed his Son to be done, you will come under his judgment. You will come under that judgment because you refused the gospel. You refused the Lord Jesus. Dear friends, tonight, can I plead with you once more? If you carry on as you are in your sins, if you carry on away from God, you will end up eternally away from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, away from the presence of God, with no hope. There's no possibility of ever coming from one side to the other. We read in Luke chapter 16 of two, the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus is in paradise. The rich man is in Hades. And the question is put, he says, will one go from one to the other? And the answer is, there's a great gulf fixed. You know, that is fixed for all eternity. There's no hope in hell. There's no prospect in hell. What a terrible place it is. A place prepared for the devil and his angels. And yet tonight, heaven is open. There's a way into heaven. And that way is open tonight, but it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Philippian jail, you know, when he came out and he saw his prison, the earthquake, and the doors are open, and he raised the question, he says, what must I do to be saved? And what's the answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is the answer, dear friends, tonight. If you put your faith and trust in his finished work, you'll be saved for all eternity. You'll be on a road which will lead to heaven. You will spend eternity in his presence. What a wonderful joy that will be. And oh, I would plead with you tonight to consider these things, to think about what we've been talking about tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your own Saviour, these things are real. These things are true. These things are in God's precious word. You know, it's the only thing in this life that we can rely upon is what God has said in his word. Many mighty men will write things. Many mighty men will say things. But the only thing that we can rely upon is God and his precious word. The Bible tells us quite clearly, the only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you met the Lord Jesus personally? Do you know what it is to have him as your Saviour? Do you know what it is to have him as your friend? As you move through this scene, my prayer and the prayer of those here tonight is that if there is any here tonight that knows not the Lord Jesus as their own personal Saviour, that tonight you will trust him. And I can tell you one thing, dear friends, he's well worth trusting. You'll never have a better Saviour than the Lord Jesus. Not only does he save you from your sin, come when he will come and take us to be with him. We'll be in his presence. And what a joy it will be to be with the Lord. But what a terrible thing if there's any left behind. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus. I know what it is to be saved tonight.